The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, live and in person, full color, if you have a color radio. Does anybody have a color radio?
Not that I know of.
No. I should invent that. Anyway, lots going on. Stick with us. All the regulars, thanks for coming back. You know we need you. And if you're new to the show, stick around for a while. I promise everybody, stick around long enough, you're going to learn something. And it might be from us. Hopefully it will, and might be from you or other people like you. And all they got to do to go to the head of the class here is to pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. As Angela likes to say, 222-TALK to me, you have to call 222-TALK, which I think is quite clever. Anyway, I digress, as often. Wrapping up today, a bunch of things that are sort of, I guess, personally meaningful. I thought I'd, rather than hide behind anything, I'll tell you the truth. This is my last day on Earth as a 60-something-year-old.
This is true.
Tomorrow is the day.
Hey, it's better than
just another age, absolutely. Yep. And it happens to be concurrent with the end day of my 18th year doing radio. So by next week at this time, I will be older, and I'll be in year 19, and Adam will be just exactly like he is now, except for a week older. How's that?
We are creeping up on 25 years combined radio
experience. That is absolutely true. I wonder if one of these days we might wind up good at it.
Maybe.
I tell you what, we keep practicing. Been doing this show. We're well into our sixth year now, and we have never missed a program ever, except two times when the station wasn't playing and the people weren't in town because we'd been evacuated for hurricanes. One time I actually left town. That's another story. But anyway, other than that, we have never missed a show. And I bring that up for a specific reason, because 1 week from today is the 4th of July, which this year we're celebrating on July 4th for Independence Day. We will be here live.
We will.
So you can mess around with all your other radio stations and look for anybody you want out there that's doing some live radio, and you're wasting your time. The only ones you're going to find right here, and the only one you really need anyway, is the VanWee Financial Hour. And I've been told by Angela and Howard that their intention is also to be live, and I'm pretty sure, well, I don't know, I haven't talked to Joe Pippin yet.
I didn't ask him. I did talk to him this week, but I didn't ask.
I can't say for sure. We can't say. But he may well be live too. I'd tune in, go from 8 to 11 straight through, and hopefully get live shows. So I just wanted you to know that we're not going to poop out just because there's a holiday. Next week we will be here live. There's so much going on in the market that it would just be a shame to miss. And the weird thing about this week is there was so much good news out there, and the market wouldn't listen because they got focused on COVID and destruction of statues and all that, which I grant you are very important issues. But the issue that we're most involved with, which is the economy and the recovery, is actually in much better condition than this week's market would lead you to believe. So yesterday we struggled, and as Adam and I were talking right before we came on, we said, you know, it just couldn't end soon enough. And it didn't end soon
enough.
No,
it didn't. Really.
And I'd love to have cut that week about 4 hours shorter.
Yeah, so I think the COVID issue is a legitimate issue for the market, though, because when we were starting the opening process on May 2nd or 4th of this year in Florida, everything looked to be going fairly well for the first month. Well, then we had this little series of incidents, and right now we're seeing a major spike, and there's no other way to put it. It's very different than what it was before, and it's a lot of younger people. The average age in Duval has come down to almost 30 years old. It's just above 30 years old, which is...
And this is tying exactly into what you were just speculating to me.
Yeah, and so these people are, younger people are, A, sick of being cooped up, and I get that. If you're young, sitting in your house is not what you want to do. I didn't when I was that age, and so I totally understand that. And so they're going out, they're socializing, they're going to bars, but they're also going to these protests, which is fine, but that is not a behavior that is going to lead to reduced cases of coronavirus. So I think this confluence of events is causing a major spike, and that's what we're seeing, and it is going to complicate the opening process for the economy. I just don't see any way around it. We saw it on Friday with the reclosure of bars in Texas and Florida, and that is going to slow down some economic activity. So
that's not where the protests are taking place.
No, but there is transmission at bars.
Yes,
we've seen it throughout the beaches, and I'm sure other places that we haven't seen, but it is happening. So the only reason I bring this up is that it's going to slow down the reopening process, which is what we need to happen for economic activity to resume. So there is some legitimate fear in the market surrounding those issues. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be a balancing act moving forward, the one that the president and individual governors are going to have to weigh out the risks and the rewards. And there's a lot of debate between what is better to do on which side of the argument you're on. And it unfortunately should not fall along political lines, but it has largely been doing that. And, you know, as the media,
but for the wrong motive,
loves to do, they are amplifying that, even though there are Republicans and Democrats on both sides of this issue. And I've personally talked to both on both sides, and it's really crazy how much the media can make it seem like it's Republicans versus Democrats, but it's not. It's people who want to get back to work versus people who are too scared to go back to work. That's how I divide it. And I don't know how it's going to shake out. So the uncertainty in the market, I think, is completely legitimate. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. And the trivia question today, it kind of ties right into that theme.
So the net result of all that was a little bit of negative results in the market, although we did see three pretty good up days. We saw two really bad down days. And remarkably, I mentioned the 200-day moving average for the S&P 500 a few weeks ago, and I thought we were going to see, once we hit that, some immediate volatility. Well, we shot past it, and then it came back down, and then it went back up, and now it's sitting almost right on it again. So
this is an undecided market.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. It doesn't know which way to go. So next week, you could almost throw out next week because it's the end of the first half of the year, and there's going to be some volatility. There's no doubt about it.
Monday and Tuesday, can you imagine the volume on the big board?
It's going to be, yeah.
Because all the ETFs, the mutual funds, and everybody is out rebalancing, rejiggering, and reindexing. And
exactly.
All that stuff. And there's going to be huge volume. But following a 2% drop on Friday, most of the time in
recently,
in the last 10 or 20 years, most of the time Monday is a tremendous up day.
We'll see. I don't know. I have my doubts, but it could honestly go either way.
Yes, it could. Statistics are great, and looking backwards is
but also
wonderful
meaningless.
And all that. Yeah. What really matters is what happens before 4 o'clock on Monday. Not really much else.
Exactly.
But if you're running scared because of what happened on Friday, I think you ought to just relax a little bit. These kind of pullbacks are normal, necessary, and they do happen. We'll get back into this very shortly, right after a break. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.
You can't seem to get away from the bad news. So, here's some good news for a change. Brought to you by the law offices of Kevin Cobbin, Duval's trusted car accident law firm.
When you order an item on Amazon, you can add something in the additional instructions section. Most people put leave at the back door or handle with care, something like that. But not this 13-year-old boy. He ordered a package and added, knock on the door 3 times and yell abracadabra as loud as you can, then run away super fast. The Amazon worker that delivered the package did exactly what the young boy asked. And the best part is, it was all caught on the Ring doorbell camera. And another magical story, a sheriff's deputy ate at a Cracker Barrel, and when he went to pay for his meal, he didn't receive a bill, but a note that said, Black Lives Matter, but so does yours. Thank you for your service, breakfast paid. The two African-American women that left the note remain anonymous, but they made a big impact in the deputy's life. Now that's good news.
Mom, somebody hit my car.
Baby, are you okay? We need to call Kevin Cobbin.
The law office of Kevin M. Cobbin is Duval's trusted car accident law firm. Call 357-8448, 357-8448, because Cobbin cares.
Dramatization, not an actual event, not an attorney spokesperson.
For auto accidents and serious injuries, criminal and family law, Cobbin cares. Call the law office of Kevin M. Cobbin at 357-8448, 357-8448, or click CobbinLegal.com.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question today, sponsored as usual by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. By the end of March this year, 62% of American workers had worked remotely this year. What percentage of Americans now say they would prefer to work remotely? And I'll take this plus or minus 1%. I think you're going to have maybe sea change is a little strong, but I think you're going to see a permanent trend, one which was already started. I think you're going to see it become a little more apparent, accelerated a bit perhaps, of remote working. But it doesn't mean that it'll be all day, every day necessarily. I think there will be a lot of people who have offices that they go to once in a while for meetings and such. But a lot of time is going to be spent working remotely. And it ultimately is good for a lot of people. And, you know, it's partly a preference. But, man, if you don't have to commute in the morning and night, wow.
It just opens up so much more of your day. And
so easy for me to give up, I'll tell you.
It's cheaper. It's more efficient. Yeah,
and your car doesn't have all the wear and tear and all that. But you do miss the camaraderie, especially, I think, when you're young and you depend a lot on office relationships to make new friends and just generally grow in the workplace. But anyway, the preference of Americans, what percentage of them prefer working remotely? Now, let's You go ahead and get a little deeper into the market. There's some economics and market-related things that I think are rather important, because I mentioned things are a lot better than they seem out there.
The market lost about 2.9% this week. The S&P did. The NASDAQ was a little less severe. It was just 1.9%. The Dow was a little worse at 3.3%, but overall it was around a 3% loss. The media definitely attribute this 100% to the COVID spike, which I think is partially, well, I know that's partially true, but it also is a little bit of reversion to the mean, because we have seen a tremendous quarter. In fact, before this, I think two out of the last 3 weeks, we had a decline. Prior to that, we were on track for one of the best quarters in over 80 years. So when you think about that, that's the market usually goes down very fast and comes up quite slow. Well, we went down very fast and came up pretty fast. So to see it drop down a little bit and still be at the level it's at is not really disheartening to me. And while the U.S. market took it on the chin, international markets were a little more mixed. Brazil and Mexico, two less developed countries that have serious COVID problems right now, they both dropped more than 4%, so a little bit worse than us. But India, Russia, and China all traded more than 1% higher during the week. So definitely some mix there. And Europe was generally flat. And Europe's seeing a little bit of a spike in COVID as well. So
and they don't want us there.
No, but they're having the same issues we're having. And this is not unique to the United States. So.
No.
And France, this was kind of remarkable. They actually posted a 0.00% change for the week. You don't see that very often.
No.
To two decimal places.
Yeah, we had one of those a year or so ago, and I reported on it because it's so rare.
It is rare. Commodities ended the week a bit lower, and they were driven down largely by a huge loss in natural gas, down over 11%, and then a small
What's
loss.
What's going on with natural gas?
It's so volatile this year. It's crazy.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, that too. Gold and silver both traded slightly higher, as did bonds as stocks fell. All of those things make sense. And except that the long treasury ETF was up another 1.6%, despite the yield being next to nothing.
Money is flowing into bond funds and bond ETFs and flowing right out of equities.
You can't get anything out of them. They're so expensive right now.
I call it bullish for Van Wee Financial.
Okay.
When money's flowing out of equities and when the bulls and the bears are so far apart, it's just a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, bearish sentiment rose again, hitting just under 49%, and bullish sentiment dropped. And it was coming. It's right about half of what the bearish sentiment is. Mm-hmm. So as we all know, that's a contrarian indicator. So take that for what it's worth. It could be a good sign. Economic data continues to improve, but it's still at pretty bad levels.
Yeah.
So, I mean, improvements at this point are take it for what it's worth.
Although
again,
the net job numbers, I thought, were very positive.
Yeah, the jobless claims have fallen for a record 12 weeks in a row. They're at 1.48 million, which is still, other year, would be a record.
Oh, it'd be awful. Yeah.
Continuing claims also are getting better. They fell below 20 million for the first time since April.
Yeah, 767,000 reduction, which means those jobs were created over an excess. Over the new one. So remember last month or earlier this month when the report came out, everybody was so shocked we were supposed to lose 8-9 million jobs and we got 2.5. It's because they don't look at continuing claims. All they do is add up the new claims. Well, a lot of those people went back to work. It's happening again this month, and I look forward, and I hope I'm not disappointed, to another great jobs number early in July.
I hope so, but with that being said, 1 in 10 U.S. workers are still unemployed right now. So That is pretty scary, knowing that many people are on the sidelines and uncertain about when their jobs will return if they do. So you can look at it on both sides. Yes, it's getting better, but no, it's still bad. So
yes, and in the house of whatever they call it up there, the loony bin now in D.C., there is a lot of talk about another stimulus payment package.
Yeah,
Trump is on board.
They've got to do something because the unemployment, extra unemployment benefits run out at the end of this month.
And I'll tell you right now, I would bet you maybe a dime, at least two nickels, that'll get extended.
It almost has to. I mean,
you can't leave the public with that feeling.
Yeah.
And then everybody can claim credit for it and say, look what we did for you. But it's got to be last second. Because otherwise, they're seen as negotiating with each other, and you can't have that.
Heaven forbid we negotiate with each other and come up with a good solution for the country.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The state of American politics.
Yeah. I really think something's going to happen there big time. It's going to make a lot of people feel a lot better.
I hope so, because it is truly our most vulnerable population right now.
Yep.
Largely, that is out of work. I mean, it is not
the people, marginally employed.
Yeah, exactly.
Including minorities, last hired, first
absolutely.
Fired.
Absolutely.
And that we were just getting to the point with minority employment where it was setting records every month, and now it just shot up. And it's for all the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. So I sincerely hope that we can put politics aside and come up with a good solution on this one.
You and me. And it's harder and harder every year to become an optimist. But who knows? We have. Good morning, George.
Good morning. I hear talk all the time about like buying insurance on your stock profits. What is that? And I think it has to do with options, but how do you do that?
Sure.
Yeah, it does have to do with options. You protect your position by buying and selling puts and calls.
You can, but you can also just place a stop loss or a limit order and protect it that
which
way.
Which I much prefer.
Yeah, and that's a lot easier and, in my opinion, safer because you can't really mess it up. Whereas with options, if you do the wrong thing, you can your downside is potentially extremely high, if not unlimited. So we could walk through all of that, but that's kind of a long process. But if you place if you put in a limit order, that is in my opinion a safer way to protect your gains.
Yeah, and all that means is, let's say you own a share of XYZ and you bought it at 100, it's 110. You don't want to lose money on it, so you set a limit and say sell this if it hits or goes below 103 or whatever like that.
And I'm familiar with that, but
okay.
That's what if one. I don't want to sell the stock?
Yeah, then you're probably looking at trading options, and that is a much more complicated procedure.
They are so risky. How risky are they? But they are so risky that in an IRA, there is only one type of option that the government allows to happen. That is a covered call. The reason they allow the covered call is it has an absolute limit on the downside risk. Your limit is whatever you've got in it. But if you get into naked calls and puts and that sort of thing, sometimes there are some options out there that have an unlimited downside where you just have to pay and pay and pay. So the government requires the brokerage houses to be sure that you're fully qualified to trade options. So you have to actually get trained to do it or they won't let you do it. But that's how it's done, through options. And a lot of people use them. A lot of people are good at it.
As an individual investor, you can do that. You have to have a brokerage account. Is the money in an IRA or a brokerage account?
Both.
Okay. So you could do it on part of it anyway.
Yeah. When you're doing things like the covered call, what you're actually doing is making money. So you sell it, you get the money. And then at the end of the period, on the witching day, if it gets sold, you don't own it anymore, but that's fine. And if it doesn't, you've got the money, you sell another one.
But that wouldn't help him in this situation.
No, it wouldn't. You know, you're talking about full-blown options trading, and that is something. You can buy books or online courses all over the place, teach you how to do it. And I'll tell you, if anybody wants to learn about that, my suggestion is that you learn to graph them. We have to learn that in CFP school to put graphs on it and tell you where your money is, where you're going to break even, where you're going to lose, and all that. And once you can see it in front of you, I think it helps immensely to understand what's going on. So check those things out online, see what you come up with, and I think you'll find something. You'll either love it or hate it because it's so complicated. That's my guess.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. Have a good weekend. All right, we got to take another little break, and then we're going to talk about some things that are going on out there. There is some really, really good news, which follows last week's pretty good news about RMDs. And I want everybody to know that when the IRS does something right, we give them credit, and they actually did something right this week. So we will get back to that in a few seconds after we pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Talk Radio, AM AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Fears of the coronavirus on the rise again in some parts of the world. Two states, of course, in this country, Florida and Texas, reversing some of their earlier reopenings because of a surge in cases. In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel is cautioning that the coronavirus pandemic is far from over as regional outbreaks give rise to fears of a second wave there. European Union envoys are close to finalizing a list of countries whose citizens will be allowed back into Europe once it begins lifting coronavirus-linked restrictions. The U.S. appears almost certain not to make the list as new infections surge, and given that President Trump has imposed a ban on European travelers. A Houston bar owner who believed he could no longer provide a safe environment for his staff and customers says he felt he had no choice but to shut down his business altogether. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 730 points. This is SRN News.
A coronavirus update brought to you by Best Transmission. Don't mess with the rest. Come see the best.
Nearly 9,000 new cases of coronavirus statewide just yesterday. Duval County increased by 447 cases. St. John's County added 83. There have now been almost 123,000 cases in Florida since it all began. Almost 4,000 have lost their lives. There have been too many instances of patrons at Florida bars testing positive, so the state has now suspended immediately all on-premise alcohol sales. St. Augustine passed a resolution requiring everyone to wear masks in public buildings where social distancing is not possible. Officers are visiting restaurants and other businesses to make sure all CDC guidelines are being followed, and violations could result in losing their business license. Bottom line is, we must do something to slow this outbreak, and the best way to do that is to wear masks, wash hands, and keep your social distance. Thank you for what you're doing to help stem the spread of this virus. Keep listening for more updates.
Don't mess with the rest. Come see the best. Best Transmission is an essential business open to serve you. Best Transmission is celebrating 35 years of servicing front-wheel, four-wheel, and overdrive transmissions. 10% discount for military. Best Transmission for quality parts and work for foreign and domestic vehicles. Best Transmission, 8139 Nevada Street on Jacksonville's west side. Drive up or call for an appointment at 783-4980, 783-4980, or look up Best Transmission on Facebook.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You've heard us talk about the five-year warranty on all the watches we sell, but really to talk about guarantees and warranties, you have to look at our history of over 90 years in business. Underwood's entire reason for existence is and has been to offer the finest things, which will bring such satisfaction that both the giver and the receiver will want to come back. And hopefully they'll tell their friends about us. To do this means we've got to try our hardest to satisfy every customer, and all of our people understand that. Now, I'm sure over the years we've made a few mistakes, but we've never failed to make good on any Underwood piece that was returned to us with a legitimate problem. Our entire reputation wouldn't mean a thing if we didn't conduct ourselves that way. Simply put, conducting our business with honesty and integrity is a lot more important to Underwoods and our customers than all the guarantees, warranties, and other contrived legal obligations in the world. And you have our word on that.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
30% chance of showers through tonight. Partly sunny and hot this afternoon. High 97. Heat index of 105. Cloudy tonight. Down to 75. Partly sunny Sunday with a high 98 and with a heat index of 105. And then partly cloudy Sunday night down to 75. And then up to about a 60% chance of showers Monday through about next weekend. Daytime highs 95, overnight low 75.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our trivia question is still out there. By March, already 62% of Americans had taken a shot at the telecommuting, the working from home. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, how many, what percentage of Americans prefer working at home?
I don't know.
And it's, well, plus or minus 1%. Okay. I'm not going to give any more clues.
Yeah, we forgot to ask George if he wanted to guess, so call back in if you'd like to take a shot at it.
Good point.
Talking a little bit in the break about options trading, and just to be fully transparent, well, A, it's not something that we do, and B, I'm really terrible at it. I mean, I consider myself fairly smart, and options are, it's a just something you have to really apply yourself to and do for a while
it's
to understand
your job.
Fully. Yeah.
If you're an options trader, it is your job, for even though they're your own personal options, you have to treat it as a job.
It is.
You can't look in once a week.
No. No, it's not something I enjoy or care to spend much time on, but it's a great question because there are strategies out there that will do things for you inside your portfolio. But the great thing is now with ETFs, there's a lot of ETFs that offer to do that for you.
Exactly.
So you can just pay someone 40 basis points and they'll do it for you. And that is what I would much prefer to do rather than setting them up myself.
Yeah. 19 and 20 years ago, I was studying to become a CFP, and one of the things we had to delve into was options. And I actually got really good at it. And before I started with the new gig, I did a few just in my own account. And it was fascinating for, gosh, probably 6 or 8 weeks, at which time it got old. If you look at what you're really making by trading options, I wasn't seeing the return
that's
worth
been,
my time.
Yeah, that's been the experience of, I have a few friends from MBA school who got into it for a short while, and they were convinced it was the guaranteed way to make money, and it all lasted maybe 6 months, and then they stopped doing it because it just wasn't yielding the results that they had hoped for.
Right, and we were talking on the break about hedge funds. Now, hedge funds are these mysterious things that nobody seems to quite understand. Let me simplify a hedge fund for you. It's a group of financial assets that anybody can buy. It's perfectly legal. What they're trying to do is mitigate the movements in the market and maybe pick up a little bit of profit here and there and not lose some here and there. In other words, a lot of them are made up of a lot of options. About a month ago, Adam and I both came across an article that said that for 10 years, the average hedge fund return on investment was, for that 10-year period, zero. Now, that seems like a lot of work to me to make no money.
Now,
I've got better ways to make no money.
Out of the I think they looked at 15 different strategies within hedge funds, and two of them were profitable, and the rest were either barely profitable or negative.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that funny? But, yes, they exist, and, yeah, you can use them for profit protection. You can use them for generating income. But, as Adam was saying, there's with the stop orders, the limit orders, the stop limit orders, the ETFs that have trained people and they're doing it for you. There's so many better ways to mitigate the time it requires you to do it yourself that I think the whole business is probably a fraction of what it used to be in the options trading. But I don't know because I'm not on the street and don't want to be.
Nope, me neither.
So, anyway, it's something to look into. Anybody who has any interest in it, I really suggest you read about it. It is a fascinating look at mathematics. So if you like math and the market both at the same time, you'll like this. All right, year 2020. But we had a virus and some other stuff going on, and Congress responded. So let's start with a little background. Most people by now, especially if you're a loyal listener to the show, you know that IRS suspended the RMDs, required minimum distributions, from qualified retirement accounts, which are defined contribution plans. And all of that sounds like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo, so it's 401ks and that type, and your IRAs. You do not have to take a required minimum distribution in the year 2020. Well, by the time we found that out, it was already March, and some people start in the beginning of the year taking their RMDs out for monthly income or just to pay some bills or whatever, got to take it out anyway. So some of those were paid in. Well, after that, we learned that The suspension was going to apply to everybody in 2020, but some were paid out. So Adam and I were both thinking, you know, this is really not fair, basically. I hate the word fair because it's been usurped by so many groups, but it wasn't really fair. And then an alert caller called in and said, is it possible to pay it back? And I immediately shot off my mouth, which I want to do, and said, not if you're outside the 60-day window to return it as a qualified rollover. Is that the word that triggers that?
Yeah, rollover.
And so we looked it up, and there was a change made that made it better. So action was too late for some people, obviously, because of what I was talking about with the 60-day period. So the people who took their first ones in January were not given any type of break. So when Congress got off to a good start, they said, well, okay, you can actually pay them back by July 15th, and it was better than the original, but it wasn't perfect yet, and therefore there were still some people hanging out there who were not getting equal treatment under the law. Well, Americans have come to expect equal treatment on so many fronts because basically it's our constitutional right. So we were talking about that too and said, I think IRS will come back and make some changes to equalize the treatment of other all investors in that age group who might have been affected. So on June 23rd, well, first off, they issued the original ruling was called 2020-50. That was the one that took it to July 15th. Now, on June 23rd, they released notice 2020-51, which reopened the whole thought process for the RMD replacements. Anybody can do it now. I don't care if you're in January, February, March, April. You can replace it, and they extended the date out to August 31. And that's going to help a lot of people because come January 15th, if you owe taxes, you got to pay it. So chances are people are going to be a little bit cash poor in the month of July. Add on to that that the first two installments, if you're paying quarterly installments in your taxes, are also due July 15th, and you're going to see some serious cash flow problems for some people who might otherwise want to pay this back. So it's been extended to August 31 now. Now let's think about another little thing that's going to hurt that cash flow too. What if when you paid the RMD out earlier in the year, you had federal taxes withheld at 15 or 20 or 10 or whatever percent it is? Well, you'd like to repay that money too, but Uncle Sam's not going to hand you that check back. So you have to come up with the additional funds out of your own cash, which you will get back after you file your return, but it's going to make cash flow even worse. So I'm thinking for some people this year, July is not going to be a very pretty month, and I'm thinking that largely because I'm one of them. I'm going to get nailed because I do the quarterly, so such is life, right? Anyway, why would you do it? Because the RMD increases your taxable income. Not taking the RMD leaves it equal, and repaying the RMD takes it from the bigger number to the smaller number. Well, you decrease the taxable income. Some people are going to fall below the marginal tax bracket than they would be in with the RMD. That makes it even better to save money. So all in all, you have a nothing but positive effect. And that's not even including what happens with Medicare. If you're taking an RMD, it's most likely that you're on Medicare. Well, Medicare has different breaks than the tax brackets, but they charge you more for Medicare if you go over certain breakpoints. Some people are going to be able to repay enough of their RMD to get below that breakpoint and save. You can save anywhere from about $50 to $110 a month on Medicare each. And that is really worthwhile. So if you're wondering if you could be impacted positively by repaying an RMD that you've already taken and you need some help, I have some numbers you could call. One of them being 222-TALK, and we could talk about it. Or if you want a personal opinion, you can reach us at our office at 685-1505. And, of course, we always have the email, info@vanweefinancial.com. And you just might save yourself a whole bunch of money. So IRS did it right, and when they did it right, I felt like I owed them a thank you on behalf of us and all of our clients. They don't often get something right, and even though it took tries, it got better each time. So congratulations to you and the IRS. I still want to get rid of them. That's another story altogether. All right, we got to take one more break, and we'll be back right after that with some more topics. And, this is the Van Wee Financial Hour, saying almost the 4th.
There is injustice in our country.
There's injustice. It's not new.
It's not new.
We've heard about it before.
Some have just found it easier to set it aside than to deal with it.
Now is the time to deal with it.
Every person is created by God,
loved by God, and precious to God.
Every person deserves to be treated humanely and fairly.
I pledge to stand for those who are being treated unjustly.
I pledge to vote for those who stand for justice and respect for all people.
I pledge to treat all others as I wish to be treated.
We are a diverse group of people.
We don't all look the same, sound the same, or think the same.
We're all part of Jacksonville.radio, a diverse group of radio stations reaching a diverse group of listeners.
But we are one.
But we are one.
But we are one.
We are united.
We are unified. And we are strong.
And we are strong.
And we are strong.
And we are strong.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. C. Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question is still out there, and there are a couple people we need to talk to. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Old burn time. Maximum age to take RMD.
Maximum age?
Yeah, I remember they bumped it up.
110 or something like that?
Well, they bumped the minimum age.
They bumped the minimum
age. The starting age, to 72.
Yeah, so. But you have to drain the account by the time you're about 110, 112.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 72. And by the way, the old 70 and a half number, it's gone.
That went away. They haven't changed it. You know how they do. They're a little bit wishy-washy.
Yeah, a little bit. Where do you think 70 and a half came from?
Such a random number.
See this long table years ago with the Democrats on one side and the Republicans, and one of them saying, 70, no, 71, no. All right, cut the baby in two, 70 and a half. It had to be something that stupid. There's no other explanation.
I appreciate the live no jive. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one. Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. I tuned in late. I just heard the end of your speaking about the repayment of the RMD.
Yeah.
can you hit the real high points again? Cannot take your RMD, right? Just not take it.
Right, but if you already have, you can pay it back before, on or before August 31st, like it never even happened.
And so that that just means that that's no longer a taxable event.
That is correct.
Yep,
exactly.
By putting off paying. See, I've taken one quarter of my RMD at uh-huh. this point.
But so, if you do a little income planning for yourself, you can decide whether it'd be a good idea to pay that back or a better idea to take some more of it or all of it. But you want to do it so as to keep your taxable income bracket in a range that you like.
Yeah, yeah. See, like I say, if I don't take the other three quarters, because I don't really need it, I won't be penalized.
That's correct.
Okay, that's the important part, because if I don't need that RMD, and I try to do my best to stay as a person being a pauper, so I don't have a tax liability at all most of the time.
Yeah,
but every once in a while, I make too darn much money, and then
yeah, you know, it's a curse making money, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes I just hate paying the government. But anyway, so if I don't take it, it's not going to make them crazy.
Correct. And if you pay it back, it's just going to come right off the top. And you can do anything in between.
That's marvelous.
David, they got it right.
Yeah.
How often do we get to say that?
They got it right. I don't know. Hey, listen, I'm back to where I started. Well, I'm up $47.
Did you look yesterday?
Yeah, that included yesterday.
Oh,
that included yesterday. So we're back to where I bought in, you know, to the broad belt market, about 2 months ago?
Good. Well, the markets have been really good. We were talking a little earlier about the month-to-date numbers. They're fantastic still. That was just a little blip last week.
If I had a crystal ball and knew when to buy and sell those broadband stuff, could you make money?
If you had a crystal ball, I already would have stolen it off your back porch.
Mm-hmm. So, like I say, I'm still up $46.
That good?
On a high five-figure investment.
Keep the faith.
I was up $4,000 4 days ago.
But the V word is back. Volatility.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember, you know, the old saying, bears make money, bulls make money, pigs get slaughtered.
Yep. There's a lot of variations on all true,
it's
though.
It's really hard. I put that money in and say, right, this market's going to swing. I mean, the underlying economy is so strong.
If I make a
quick 8%, I'll get out.
Oh, sure. We all got spoiled first year after Trump. Yeah, first year Trump was in office, there wasn't any volatility, and people don't have real long memories about such things. But boy, when it came back with a vengeance. So
seriously.
Now we're back to normal. Nothing more, nothing less, just back to normal.
That's cool. I hope we get back to 28,000. That'd be a nice number.
Cool. Well, good luck.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
Take care.
28 would be good. 30 would be better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You want to talk a little bit about...
Yeah, I think I'll save that for next week as we're kind of getting to the end of the show. But I did have a few other things. There's been some outflows from fund families recently.
Yes.
Maybe you've heard about that. Do you know what the top fund family for outflows was this year?
I'm going with the one that we're most familiar with, I think.
No.
No.
No, it was actually Fidelity. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I'm trying to connect the dots on this one. That's really weird.
Yeah, and then followed closely by T. Rowe Price, Invesco, PIMCO, American funds. I mean,
who's getting this money?
Yeah,
ETFs.
Well, okay, so it's going.
Are you talking pure mutual funds or ETFs?
Fund families. That's all.
Families.
That's, yeah. Vanguard is one of the big winners. iShares, big winner. Spider. So State Street. Yeah, so kind of, and Schwab actually had a net positive as well, BlackRock. So yeah, it's just a lot of money moving around, but no real rhyme or reason to
I'm purely speculating. I haven't dealt with Fidelity in 18 years, but they always had really good mutual funds. But from the people who have come into our office over the last 18 years or so in this business, a lot of them have been less than satisfied with the service level they're getting.
You know, but we have some competing firms that use them, and they're very happy with them. So I don't know.
That's a great company.
Yeah. Also, some interesting home sales data. I wish Angela and Howard were here to comment on this.
No kidding.
For May, existing home sales declined 9.7%. That's a pretty big number. For May also, new single-family home sales increased 16.6%. What is going on there? I'm wondering if new homes are more popular right now because there isn't any fear on the seller's part about people coming into their house to look at them with COVID.
It's an interesting speculation.
But that's a wide gap.
Plus, it's a big gap.
Plus 16.6 on new and negative 9.7 on existing. Strange. And from everything we hear locally, the market has not really slowed down.
No. The annual pace is good. We have 4 out of 5 Fed areas reporting so far, too. And the manufacturing expectations are moving up nicely.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
And this is one folks will think about. Under Dodd-Frank, a law that I certainly would have repealed decades ago, but that's another story. Under Dodd-Frank, the big banks are subjected by the Fed to a stress test every year. Well, that happened this past week, and they sort of failed. So there have been some restrictions put on them, and because of that, their prices have really fallen. I think I'm going to watch that sector really carefully for the next couple of weeks because I think they might be kicked around just about as far as they're going to get kicked around.
They definitely got kicked around this week.
Oh, yeah, something to think about. Just a moment here. Good morning, Bosco.
Yeah, it's another fabulous program.
Oh, thank you so much.
I know we're getting close to the end of the program, but your opinions on the idea that BlackRock says that we should invest in China.
Now, is that a political opinion, a financial opinion, or what?
Take your best shot.
Yeah, that's a good question.
The way we invest in China is the same way we invest in Germany and England and everywhere else. It's the one arena where Adam and I both prefer to use an actively managed mutual fund that's run by someone with a great track record. And then we don't worry about what companies he's buying because he's handpicking them.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's China right now, though, it scares me. It really does.
Oh, it does.
He'll
do anything. And he wants Trump out. So he's even nuttier than he usually is right now. He's trying to get Trump unelected.
I don't like what's going on politically with Hong Kong.
Hong Kong is a mess.
I don't think that there's much incentive for American companies to move in there right now. Nope. And in fact, quite the opposite.
And that's the shiny object for Taiwan.
Yeah, and then there's the Taiwan situation that's ongoing. I mean, there's just so many negatives. It's hard. Outside of the historic growth that they've seen over the last 20 years, which also scares me a little bit because there's really almost nowhere for it to go but down.
Yeah.
It's not something I would be doing with my money right now, but I'm sure BlackRock has a compelling case because there is going to be opportunities in China. So
yes, and there's
going
to be some shocks along the way. So I'd have to agree with them in general. But look for a good actively managed mutual fund and you can just avoid it. So, we have to run. Thank you so much for the call. I got one more little tidbit. 62% had been on it by March. 59% of people now say they prefer working at home. Yes, there's some people in group one that went into group two, some people from group two that went into group one. But I think that's going to lead to a lot of people doing the remoting. I'll see you on the 4th of July. We'll be right here. You'll be here too. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.